Good morning, Fort McMurraywood, Buffalo, and the rest of the world. You've tuned in to the Mac City Morning Show. I'm your host, Elliot Pierre, and we're going to start this episode off the same way we start every episode off, with a moment of gratitude. I know you could be doing a million other things with your time, and the fact that you spend with us truly does mean the world to me, so thank you. On that note, Tanner, hit him with the intro.
Hey, it's Guy Simpson here. I'm the general manager of Norrell Toyota, soon to be Fort McMurray Toyota. Pretty excited for our new dealership. We're here to take care of you. Come on down and be part of our family.
And we are back. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Norrell Toyota. We really do appreciate your ongoing support. As you know, I do not introduce my guests because they can do a better job of that than myself. So can you please tell everybody at home who you are and what you're about?
Thanks for having me, Elliot and Tanner, this morning. My name is Verna Murphy. I'm currently running for Ward 1 counselor. Been in Fort McMurray for 18 years now, married to Tim for 30, and we raised our kids here and been working in social profits, worked in government before as well. I served on council from 2017 to 2021. Took a run at the mayor shot last term, but unfortunately didn't make it into that office. But I think everything worked out the way it was supposed to.
No doubt. How's Tim's backyard shack coming along?
It's pretty cool. It's his little tiki hut, his man cave. He does all of his smoking and stuff out there for barbecuing. So yeah, it's pretty cool.
So is that like an ongoing thing? Like when he came to you with that concept, like how did that start? Because you got to be pretty cool to allow your husband to have that section, because it takes up real estate in your backyard, and he obviously like loves it out there. So. Mm-hmm. He spends time there. So when he came to you and said, hey, listen, I have an idea, how did that all start up?
Yeah, it actually started during COVID.
Okay.
And so friends of ours were moving and they had just bought a brand new smoker. It was like still in the box and they didn't want to take it with them. And so we ended up buying it from them and he got into it. And as long as he wants to make supper, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Because you can see, I've been over there before, and he just like, he lights up when he's like, oh, you want to come check this out?
Yeah.
You look very interested in this. So yes, I will come look at it with you.
Lots of conversation pieces out of it and having friends over. It's been a great addition.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. So your part of town, we're not going to talk about your part of town. I don't want to put your address on there. Although, did you see some people had their address like when they were running for council?
I never noticed.
Oh yeah, I ain't trying to put my address out there. But you live in a part of town that is near and dear to my heart. So let's talk about that area of Fort McMurray. Why and how did you choose, this is kind of where I want to live?
Yeah, it's actually a really funny story actually, because we arrived in Fort McMurray, we didn't know which part of town we wanted to live in. We didn't really know anything about the community, and we were driving around randomly and we saw a license plate and it said Mabu, which is my hometown name. And so immediately I was like, I like this neighborhood, like other people that we probably know live here. So we kind of kept an eye out for a residence there. And back then a lot of people weren't selling their homes in that area. And so it just happened one night we were driving by and the man that was selling his house literally was putting up the sign as we were driving by. And so we stopped, asked him if we can come in, and it was just history after that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now there's one thing, because you've been here for quite some time. If you lived here for a minute, you know all about people who are couch surfing. People who come, you get the phone call, hey, I'm in town, do you got a room? And you're just like, I wish I didn't. You are renowned for having people make that phone call over the years and ask to sit on your couch or sleep on your couch. What's that like for somebody? Because that's a perspective that not a lot of people have heard from people in Fort McMurray, basically. We always hear the story about people who are coming and they have to make it, but we don't hear about the people who've come here and then help people out when they need that bed to sleep in.
Yeah. Besides doing that, we've fostered over the years. So we're used to people kind of coming and being in our lives for short periods of time, and some others have been longer periods of time. It's been a very rewarding experience. Like some of the people that have stayed in our home, we didn't know prior. And then we've remained friends over the years, and we know their families back home, and we go visit them when we're in Nova Scotia and stuff too. So
yeah,
there's nothing bad that came out of that experience for sure.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I know my parents, there was always some family member or cousin being like, hey, I want to try making it in Fort McMurray. Do you have a spare bedroom? And you're like, yep, we got a spare bedroom. And then there'd be a random living with us for like, not a random, but you know, somebody I didn't know, they were new to me, for like 3 to 6 months. And then they'd either make it and get their own place, and or they'd be like, you know what, I'm going to go back to wherever they came from.
So my father was out at one point and working shutdowns. And randomly he had called and, you know, he met a guy at lunchtime that needed a place to stay, and we ended up being really good friends with his family. So,
yeah, that's awesome. Now, you talked a little bit about the East Coast. How often do you get back to Nova
Scotia? Not very often, actually, but unfortunately, last year we were home, Tim's mom had passed away, and then we decided this summer just to go and incorporated another trip that Tim had always wanted to take. He wanted to drive across the country, and originally he always wanted to do it as a full family unit.
Okay.
But we never had the opportunity. The boys were busy in the summer or working, and so Shailene's graduating this coming 2026, and so Tim kind of thought this is the last opportunity for him to have that trip. So
yeah.
We flew home and we drove back to Fort McMurray. So
Okay, I have so many questions based on that. All right, first and foremost, what kind of car or vehicle did you drive back?
Did you already hear this story?
No, I have nothing. Like, people think I say this, and I'm not going to say it because Tanner's going to put me on blast. No, I did not hear the story. Let's hear it.
There wasn't a vehicle kind of the same size as what I'm used to. I like bigger cars and trucks just because that was what I learned to drive, and that's what my dad always had when we were growing up. So the car was quite a bit smaller than what we were used to and very low to the ground, which was just generally uncomfortable. But then the back just wasn't a very good support and stuff. So Tim had a bad car accident a number of years ago. So probably by the end of the first or second day, like, we were both feeling the physical discomforts of just having this smaller car.
Yeah.
But besides that, it was a pretty good trip.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how did your daughter like it?
She liked it. It was great up until, well, we did different things up until Ottawa, and we stayed in Ottawa a couple of days because Tim had never been there. Shailene had never been there before.
Right.
Ottawa's sick.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. We got to see lots of different cool things there. We went to the War Museum and Parliament Buildings and all that stuff that you do in Ottawa.
Nice.
Then we were going to spend a couple extra days in Winnipeg, but unfortunately the first night we went out for supper and there was no alcohol involved, but I fell in a construction zone on the way back to the hotel and knocked myself unconscious. Like, I had a concussion. And so the trip kind of got condensed after that. And we I couldn't get home to Fort McMurray fast enough after that.
No doubt.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal.
No, that's unfortunate. What part of Winnipeg did you have your accident in? I love Winnipeg.
Yeah, we were just downtown.
Okay.
Yeah, and they were building, or they were expanding some of the streets there.
Yeah.
And I just tripped on a loose piece of concrete and went down. And when I hit, I just hit directly on my head and on my shoulder.
Yeah.
So it was a bad bump. I didn't go out for a while because my eye and everything all turned black and blue.
Yeah, wild. Yeah. So when you're on a road trip like that, are you a family that listens to music, listens to talk radio, play games? Because that's a long time in a car.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Well, I had downloaded books because I thought that would be one thing that we would do on the trip, and it wasn't. We definitely played games and music the whole way and had great conversations that, you know, otherwise we wouldn't have had in the past with our teenager in the car.
Yeah. Oh, that's going to be a trip that's going to last memories for like the rest of your guys' life.
Yeah.
No, that's really cool. I've never driven across the country. I'm not in any hurry to do it, but like a road trip with people, like, that is a thing.
Yeah.
I had a boss one time. He was awesome. Jason Crusoe, big shout out. We had to go on a corporate retreat, and everybody wanted to fly to where we needed to go, and he said, no, you're driving. And then we're just like, dude, we don't want to. And he's like, you're gonna do it, and you're gonna drive with different people there and back.
Oh.
And the relationships and the conversations that were formed in those car rides were so fundamental on how we navigated, acted like a family unit, and understood each other a little bit better.
Yeah.
So for a family to spend that kind of time in a car is just, it's refreshing, and you guys will just be more in love moving forward.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So what's she doing with after the graduation? Does she have any like ideas?
She's thinking social work.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's where her headspace is right now. So we'll see if it changes in the next couple of months, I guess.
Yeah. Well, it might, and it probably will.
Yeah.
Is she thinking about staying in town, or is she going
to
move?
She wants to stay in town at first.
Okay.
So we're looking at, hopefully she'll go to Keanu for a year or two.
Yeah.
We're not rushing her.
No, don't.
No. I said she's also a very young graduate.
Okay.
And she'll only be 17 when she graduates.
Oh, yeah. Stay at home.
Yeah.
It's a thing. It's intimidating. Like, Keanu's such a great alternative. I went to Keanu my first year, and I'm so grateful I did. So did my wife.
Yeah.
You think you want that freedom, and you think you need to move out and like get out of your house as soon as possible.
Yeah.
But when you get to Edmonton or Calgary or wherever, and like your parents aren't around, you got to figure out how to cook, pay bills, do all this stuff. You're like, I wish I had that year to figure out school before I had to figure out all this real life stuff.
Yeah.
Because you need to learn how to study when you go to school, and it's hard to do that when you're trying to figure out how to like cook for the first time.
Some people don't have to learn how to study. Some learned in high school, Elliot.
Yeah, not me. Not this guy.
Yeah, us, but...
Yeah, college.
I'm assuming your daughter probably knows how.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's pretty good.
Yeah.
So
both of the boys had the same thought, that they thought when they graduated they were going to be on 63 and out of town, and both of them during the fire evacuation realized that Fort McMurray was home.
That's awesome.
And so both of them ended up taking different things at Keanu before they moved on to what they're doing now.
Oh, that's so cool. So your family's been here for a while, and it's good that your daughter's staying around for another year. You don't have to deal with like that empty nest.
Yeah,
because that's going to be a feeling.
It was, even when the boys left, because they left within 6 months of each other. So it was like the younger guy had left in February, and then COVID hit in March. So it was like totally an empty house then, because I didn't have them and my friends couldn't come over. And I had some empty nest stuff going on already.
My kid's only 10 and I'm not looking forward to it. So, all right, Tanner tapped his phone. That means he's ready with his questions for his segment called the Mac City Minute, brought to you by Carrie and Patchouli Rose. Tanner, hit her with the Mac City Minute.
Question number one, what is your favorite game to play on a road trip?
My favorite game. Oh, that's a tough one. I guess we always play the license plate game. I know it's an old game and everybody plays it, but we always see who can get the furthest license plate, like, you know, from the United States or Alaska, or who can find the one that is the furthest away from home.
Nice, I like that.
Question number two, what is your favorite way to spend an evening in Fort McMurray?
With friends, I guess, in the backyard. Really, we're getting, you know, we're in our early 50s now, so going out to the bars and different things don't appeal to us as much as they used to. So just having friends over and having a good supper and having good conversation is the best way to spend an evening.
Question number three, what would you say is a Canadian heritage moment for Fort McMurray?
Oh, definitely the fire, and we haven't captured that history yet at all. Even when you go to Heritage Village, there's only like a very small one little video that shows in one of the back buildings there for about the fire. So I'm hoping in the next couple of years that the Heritage Society will be able to capture that history. I know it's still recent history, but we're losing people that were here and people that actually had that experience that... we need to gather those stories for sure.
Question number four. What would you say is the best road trip song?
Life is a Highway comes to like right away, of course. We listened, my daughter is currently into Billy Joel. So we listen to Billy Joel pretty much every day on repeat for this last road trip that we were on. If I got to pick, it would probably just be my regular East Coast, Matt Mingoid. So he's my go-to guy pretty much every day.
Well, you're a nice mom for giving your child control of the radio on a road trip, because that would never happen in my household. But. Anyways, your final question. What do you think is one resource in Fort McMurray people should use more?
Oh, one resource, the river. Even for ourselves, we didn't take advantage of it the first couple of years that we lived here. We never went floating, we never out on the boat, and then friends of ours took us out on the boat, and then we saw people floating and stuff that day, and we were like, oh, maybe we should try this, right? And so we started doing that, and then my son bought kayaks, and like, we just get on the river as much as we can, and it's a totally different experience and a different vibe from the city when you're out there. So yeah, definitely, I hope that we'll have more access to it and more events and stuff that even along the river. Yeah.
And those have been your five questions.
That new boat launch by when you're going to where Dunvegan used to be.
Yeah. The steep one, or the, there's one that's fairly steep.
It's beautiful. It's like a new parking lot. Like there's like when you're, pass.
I know where you mean now.
It's in Waterways. Like you go past Waterways, it's on your left hand side. It's I don't know, there's so many new parts about like Fort McMurray is growing so much from when I grew up here.
Yeah.
And like we're definitely investing in different components of the city, which is really nice to see. But like I love to bring, like we have a kayak, and Keegan really wants to get paddle boards now, because we tried that out when we were in BC. But yeah, the water line, like the rivers here, unbelievable.
It's beautiful.
But yeah, that is one in particular. Big shout out to the municipality. Like I just checked out just like a few weeks ago. Like solid. So why are you running for council? Why is this important to you? Like for me, I ask almost every person that comes here, like it's filled with scrutiny. People are mean. Like you're gonna hear the worst things over the next few weeks, if not when you're successful. People will be mean to you. That being said, you obviously feel this is really important to you. You always have. You've always been an advocate for Fort McMurray. Getting involved, it's fantastic. I just gotta know, like after all these years, and you know what you're getting into, why is this something that you're still so passionate about?
The writer in me, I think, still continues that journey. I love hearing people's stories, but when you're on council, it has a different different direction, I guess, in taking it, because when people tell me their stories, it's usually because of a problem that they're having or an issue that they're having within the region. And I like taking on those little challenges and seeing if we can improve the life, even if it's just the life of one single person or one single family in Fort McMurray. That's the part that leaves you feeling pretty good about the work that you're doing. What everybody always says, it's service to the community and service to the people that live here. As a writer, I wrote about council, and I couldn't really relay my frustrations into my own writing. I had to keep my personal views off the table when I was doing that. So that turned into a blog, and then from the blog I wanted to do something more still, so that's when I first put my name forward for council.
So you still have that passion.
That passion.
When it comes to writing, everybody is a writer now, keyboard warrior, but not everybody knows how to write properly. It's kind of wild to me, because I took writing in college, so like how to Hi, Elliot, comma, enter. How to write, like, structure, like, I know how to structure, but when you read now, you don't see a lot of that in particular. People are just happy to throw stuff out there. As somebody who's dedicated so much time and effort and, like, did it at that level for so many years, when you're reading things online now, especially from, like, a journalistic standpoint, what's going through your head?
It depends. It drives me crazy when I see misspellings and different things like that. We had an editor here, his name was Mike Hall, and I'd say he was one of my best mentors, and then Tim, of course, after that, and Tim O'Rourke, and they always wanted two eyes on the copy before copy would go to the print. And you know, it had to be tight and no misspellings and proper punctuation, so those are things that I definitely picked up from them. But it's I still appreciate anybody that writes. So even, you know, I've seen things where the texts are, or books are just all texts now, like the people actually text over their phone. I've seen books like that.
Yeah.
So people are still writing in different forms and stuff. So who am I to judge, really? But I appreciate anybody that tries to put that pen to paper.
Yeah, it's a hard one. And yeah, I don't, I'm not good at it. So anytime I can see anybody who can write properly, and like I can convey my words into sound, I cannot convey my thoughts into paper. So it's a skill set that like I admire, and then unfortunately sometimes it's just not there.
Yeah, but I'm like, the opposite. I'd rather sit down to write something than to have a camera.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Tanner just tapped his watch, so you're going to get off camera real soon here. We are out of time, but before we cut you loose, everybody gets a shameless shout out or plug. So you have the mic, the camera, the lights. Have fun.
Again, I'm running for counselor in Ward 1, Verna Murphy, and I really would encourage everyone to take the time to educate themselves about the candidates. It's so important. And go to any of my social media. I do have TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook. I try to put up pretty much everything about myself and my platform on those three different forums. And yeah, it's definitely so important that people go out and vote on October 20th. But a lot of people don't tend to do that in Fort McMurray, but I'm hoping that we have a better turnout this year than we ever did. So thank you.
There you go. Awesome. Well, Fort McMurray with Buffalo, the rest of the world, that's been another episode of the Mac City Morning Show. From the bottom of my heart, thank you very much for tuning in. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Neural Toyota, as well as Carrie from Patchouli Rose and the beautiful people at Coldwell Banker. Hope everybody at home is having a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Peace.
Hi, everyone. It's Carrie with Patchouli Rose here at Thickwood Barbershop. If you're wondering what to get your loved one this season for Valentine's Day, I make an all-natural anti-aging skin serum called Good Skin. It's good for men and women, and it's available for purchase here at the barbershop, downtown at the corridor shops and events, and on my website. Thank you for your support.
Talk about quenching your ugly thirst. Yeah.